WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. 5 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. 3 more hours of West Virginia's most compelling, exciting, and factual talk radio. The name at Radio Free Beckley is on the air. All right. You know, some days reality is a lot weirder than anything you could alter it with. And I mean everything from NyQuil on up. I was up this morning just sitting there minding my own business, watching CNN, the conservative news network. And what did I hear? Well, you know, we talked earlier in the week about the bind them, torture them, kill them mass murderer who has apparently been arrested and confessed. And we talked about his voter registration. And we also talked about the fact that he was an officer within his church. Cub Scout leader, father of two, devoted husband, slaughterer of innocents. So I'm watching the conservative news network. You know, one of those perky little talking heads. And I generally don't have that weeble problem, you know, weebles wobble that they don't fall down. I almost wobbled right off the couch because they started talking about the BTK killer. And I just had to run into the next room to make sure that, you know, I didn't get, you know, had mushrooms in the spaghetti sauce. I don't know. Because they announced that a determination had been made at Mr. Rader's home. That's the BTK killer. They made an announcement that the pastor of his church had declared that he would not be drummed out or shunned, this mass murderer, allegedly. And the BTK defendant was alleged to be very much relieved at that idea. And, you know, you get right down to it. I wouldn't expect any religion to shun someone who is willing to, you know, I mean, you know the drill. But I got to thinking, again, reality is weirder than anything you could really try to alter it with some days. I got to thinking, they won't shun him for being a mass murderer, but they would throw him out on his butt for being queer. Maybe that's just me. Stop. If you give it a minute, it'll knock you off your keister, too. That's okay, buddy. You're going to prison for the rest of your life, but you'll always be a member here at the First Church of, you know, whatever religion industry. Just don't be going and... wait, you're going to prison, aren't you? Can you certify that you won't do any queer things in prison? Because we'll have to toss you if you do queer things in prison. If you stay all good and hetero, you can stay in the church. But we are going to toss you out on your butt if we find out you're doing any of that funny queer stuff. Huh? It's one of those Archie Bunker looking over at Edith in the next chair over me.
What?
No kidding. No kidding. They're not going to shun him for being a mass murderer who ruined the law. Killed, allegedly, he's been charged with killing 10 people, so multiply that by 2 or 3. You know, ruined the lives of 30, 50, 75 people. And you know, threw the community of 300,000 people into a complete uproar. But he's okay. His membership is there in good standing, as long as he doesn't do any of that weird homosexual stuff.
Woo! Mother.
Oh, sometimes reality is stranger than anything you could alter it with. And then, you know, just following, wondering, that I mentioned this last night, what happened to the blacklist bill? you know, the one where workers can be blacklisted with no, with absolute immunity on the part of the people doing the blacklisting. What's going on with that thing in the Senate? A little too quiet for my liking. And another one, that I haven't heard anything about the tongue-splitting bill. And also, I haven't heard anything about that paragon of legislative probity, Linda Sumner's proposal to make churches be 1,000 feet from the bars. I haven't heard a word about that. Where's that going? Is that going anywhere? Because that was another one of those that sort of makes your eyeball. Because I ran and I checked the statute real quick. Linda Sumner had enough time on her hands to help craft this bill to make sure that every church was 1,000 feet from a bar. But on the other hand, you can still shoot within 500 feet of a dwelling. No, less than that. But you know, shooting within 500 feet of a dwelling is, I believe, still a crime in this state. And here's the good one. Our buddies down Coal River Way are just going to love this one. Linda Sumner, paragon of legislative probity, wants to make sure that all the bars are 1,000 feet, well, all future bars, are 1,000 feet from the churches. Fair enough. But Linda Sumner, paragon of legislative probity and super genius, she didn't have time to tell Big Coal that they needed to move their earth-destroying operations to 1,000 feet from a home. No. Linda Sumner is concerned with churches being 1,000 feet from bars or vice versa, but she doesn't give a tinker's damn about the fact that strip mines are still allowed to be 300 feet from where little children go to sleep at night. Thanks, Linda. Honey, we appreciate it. What a pro. But let that sink in for a little bit. We got to keep the churches 1,000 feet from the bars or vice versa, but it's okay for strip mines to be 300 feet from a baby's bedroom. God, I am so proud of her. Thank God, she is pro-life. Because I mean, we all know what Bill Rainey would say, chairman of the West Virginia Coal Association. We all know that he'd come right out if we tried to create a buffer zone between babies' bedrooms. Remember Jeremy Davidson over in Wise County, Virginia? Remember him? Because that's all you can do is remember him, because Big Coal killed him, rolled a big rock down into his bedroom, dropped a couple of 1,000 pounds on top of his little 3-year-old body. So you know that Bill Rainey and God knows Don Coleone Blankenstein would come rushing out to declare that they would never be able to mine another lump of coal if we made them put a buffer zone between of greater than 300 feet between babies' bedrooms and strip mine operations. Can't have that. No, that's bad for business. It's bad for coal. If it's bad for coal, it's bad for West Virginia. More aluminum in the water is good for coal. It's good for West Virginia. Go have a spoonful, especially the wing nuts. You can get you a big old gobbled up yummy bite of manganese while you're at it, and wash it down, because it's semi-liquid. Wash it down with some mercury, please. You'll be doing so. So there's that. But then, if that wasn't enough, oh, Lord God, Billy Bob, one more thing, and I'm not going to do it just yet, because I'm going to have to take my anti-regurgitation medicine before I go into this one. So we're going to do a commercial. The phone number is 252-6200 locally. Outside the dialing area, it's 800-620-9967. We stream live for you every night on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And you can go through that site to my website, headonradio.com. You can send an email. You can participate in the from time to time, scurrilous and on the part of some nasty people, outright libelous conduct, for which I take no responsibility. Used to censor these people, but some of them are really, really vile and nasty. But if you know, for those decent people, if you go in there and you see it, smack them down. God knows they've got it coming. So all of that's there for you. And remember, the show is always archived every night by our good friend Ben Birch at the White Rose at whiterosesociety.org. There's no the in front of that. whiterosesociety.org. You can go there and check out any show of mine that you want to, going back for close to a month now, which I think is really cool. So we gotta do a couple of commercials, then we'll come back. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies. Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
Your MacArthur Walmart store will be opening soon, and Walmart is hiring. Join the world's best retailing team, recognized by Fortune magazine as the most admired company in the world. As a member of the Walmart team, you'll receive competitive wages and enjoy benefits including merchandise discount, 401k, stock purchase plan, profit sharing, health benefits, and career advancement opportunities. Just come by Walmart's hiring center located at 158 Dye Drive in the Harbor Industrial Park weekdays between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. or call 252-2138. Walmart, an equal opportunity employer.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Was quick and painless. It's 19 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday. At least the snow's not flying again. Maybe we've seen the last gasp of it. Tuesday. Let's go to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. We have Brian. Hey, Brian, you're head on. Doing good.
Prevailing wage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to go off what I know with, like electricians. Prevailing wage for an electrician in Raleigh County this year is $28.04
per hour.
Per hour,
right?
Plus incentives or fringe benefits of $11.15.
Not plus, minus. I don't know. Maybe it's plus.
It's plus fringe benefits of $11.15.
Okay, so in other words, a non-union electrician would get let's round it up, $39 an hour. A non-union electrician working a prevailing wage job would get $39 an hour.
Yeah, that's right. What they would be paid.
Right.
But in order for the contractor to pay them that, they would have to probably be getting close to, you'd have to figure that, a rule of thumb's double. But double it at 40 to make it 80 an hour, so probably in the neighborhood of...
Wait, why are you doubling it?
60 an hour. Well, with the between comp and unemployment and Social Security that the employer has to pay, if you're not at least making what you're paying out on your employee, you're shooting yourself in the foot even having them working for you.
Okay, but what we need to understand first and foremost is that prevailing wage applies to non-union and union alike.
Right.
The union employee doesn't get that $39 an hour. he gets, and we'll just ballpark it here, he gets about the $28 an hour, and then the half and half of what remains goes to his pension and his health care.
Right, the union gets the other 11 an hour.
No, the union does not get the other 11 an hour. It goes to his pension and his health care.
It goes to the union, and then they pay for his health care and his
pension. No, you misunderstand, Brian. For instance, and we're talking rough numbers, a carpenter, all right?
Right.
Pays out of his earnings $5 and maybe some change per hour. Every hour he works, he pays $5 and some odd cents per hour just for health care for him and his family. Okay? He doesn't pay the union that. He pays that for health care. It doesn't, it doesn't buy anybody a swimming pool. It pays for his health care. And the other half goes into his pension.
Right.
Okay? So, no, the union doesn't get it.
Well, I mean, if the union gets it or not, that's not the point here. What I'm saying, if the electrician gets $39.19 an hour, the company that gets the bid, if they're paying fringe benefits that compare to what they're requiring as fringe benefits, they can just pay the man the straight $28.04 an hour.
No. The non-union job has to pay the prevailing wage. So if it's 28 plus 11, the non-union guy is going to get $39 an hour.
It
flat.
Depends on what benefits the company
has. Right.
If the company has insurance and all that.
If the company offers pension and benefits, it's an election for the worker to pay into it. But he can take the flat $39 an hour.
Okay. I thought if the company had benefits that matched what came to that the worker got the 28 something an hour. Was the way I understood it. I've never been any prevailing wage
right.
work.
But we've got to answer some questions here, Brian.
Okay.
Is there some groundswell out there that says a guy who is wiring a building where our children, in this instance, our grown children, young adults, is there some groundswell that says that guy's not worth $39 an hour? I think he is.
Well, I'll agree with that. I think he is too, but you can't get that around here.
You can if it's a prevailing wage job.
If it's a prevailing wage job, yes, but otherwise, no. And from what I understand, what little bit I understand about this, is it a grant or where did they get their funding from for this?
It is a federal grant.
It's a federal grant.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, the expert on this is Wayne. He's read it cover to cover, and he is he knows. Okay.
I mean, I've not read it all. Like I said, from what I understand about it, it is a grant, which therefore is quote unquote making it public funds. But if the building has been drawn up, by architects, and they've laid it down and said, okay, are you prevailing wage here? And they've said, well, no, this shouldn't be. And the building is built and designed on, normal wages, not the prevailing wages. If assuming it's a $2 million contract for the whole thing, if it goes prevailing wage, you can guarantee a one-third increase, and they won't have the money to pay for that.
No, you can't guarantee a one-third increase because you know what? This is all subject to negotiation. I mean, we're talking about a situation where if Father Acker and his crowd would merely be reasonable and sit down and talk with the building trades. They could make this thing a thing of beauty. They could perhaps, and I'm just talking ex cathedra here, Brian.
Right.
But they could, for instance, work out an agreement that would increase the number of apprentices on the job, thereby giving more experience to younger workers. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
That would be a good thing, but the laws will only allow so many apprentices per journeyman/master on the job.
I understand that, but some of this is subject to negotiation. But the thing is, right now, Father Acker and his bunch don't want to negotiate. They just want to come in and lowball the workers for whatever reason. Are we lowballing the contractor? If we're not lowballing the contractor, why are we lowballing the workers?
Well, it's lowballing everybody.
Well, I don't know that everybody's getting lowballed. I haven't heard any hue and cry from the contractor. There is some issue over the cost of the site preparation. There's about $100,000 banging around out there that may or may not be accounted for.
Well, I know site prep can get very expensive, but I mean, I've not, like I said, I'm just approaching it from, you know, one point and telling you what little bit
right.
I do know about.
I understand. I've been trying to educate myself on it a little bit too.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, the grant says this does not fall under the federal Davis-Bacon Act. Okay.
Right.
And the federal government has the right to do that. I don't think they should, but they do.
Right.
But because the grant is coming to a political subdivision, i.e. the county commission, it's coming to a political subdivision of the state of West Virginia, therefore, by definition, from the Prevailing Wage Act, it has to be a prevailing wage job.
Yeah, it's weird how this is all coming out. It's like it... Originally it wasn't, but then the county commission said, well, we're going to take care of paying it, and that suddenly has turned it into it, and it just seems like too many people are wanting a piece of the pie, so to speak.
Well, you know,
I'm sure if the county commission is writing the checks, they're going to get something for handling the money.
Oh, well, I don't know that. I mean,
I would hope not, but that's the way it's looking for being here on the outside, looking through the
well,
ball,
and,
trying to
and,
out.
And there is no harm in being skeptical of government, Brian. I watch them, man. You got to watch them. But
yeah.
the fact remains, if these, you know, if it's a prevailing wage job, that's good. You know, that's good for the city of Beckley. That's good for Raleigh County because it's good for the tax base. You know, it's more spending power. We're always hearing about how rising tides lift all yachts or whatever. You know, the more someone has to spend, the better off we all are. You know, if your neighbor's able to go out and buy a new truck, you know what I'm saying?
He's got a decent used truck that's on the market that I can go get.
Well, love the way you think, man. we're in the same corner on that. If he's out there buying stuff, the local economy's prospering, right?
Right. Well, it's like it was in the 70s, you know, when, my dad was in mine construction work. Mines would be booming. Suddenly, you know, his buddies would have trucks and bass boats and, you know, 100 guns in the house. And, boy, all of a sudden the mines would shut down and you could buy a bass boat for $200.
Well, it's the
you
same thing.
Get trucks and guns out the wazoo.
Oh, those were the days. Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, it's a shame that we've gotten into the situation more and more of the haves and the have-nots. I mean, don't get me wrong, prevailing wage is a good thing. You know, it does help keep the wages up, in a way, across the board. But if you look at it from the right-to-work state's perspective, not saying that I do or don't agree with the right-to-work state's perspective, but from what you see happening in North Carolina, you know, okay, instead of saying prevailing wage is $39.19 an hour, okay, we can afford, we'll allow electricians to make $20 an hour here. The electrician goes in, he's making $20 an hour, quote, half the rate, but at the same time, that then pushes or pulls the bottom end jobs. His kids are in school, they're trying to come up, you know, his wife isn't trained, she's got to be doing something, you know, to help them make everything work right. So she gets a job at a convenience store instead of it being $5.15 like it is here. It's, you know, $8-$9 an hour there.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know, we talk about family values, Brian. You know, we'd like to have a situation where maybe she doesn't have to work in that convenience store and she's got 10 or 15 minutes a day to spend with her kids.
I would love to have that situation.
You know,
I know very few people.
And remember, you know, if you're paying that guy $20 an hour in that right to starve state, you know, what? He's paying his health care out of that, and he's trying to save maybe into an IRA plan for the future out of that. That dude is a $10 an hour worker. And I'll be honest, I don't want to live anywhere that was built by some guy starving to death on $10 an hour. I mean, does that make any sense to you?
It makes sense. I think a lot of what we're running into now throughout the nation is the Mexican labor coming in here. You know, there was the thing where, you know, the Minutemen had went down there and were guarding the border because the government wasn't doing it. Now Mexican government says they're trying to sue them in American courts, you know, because they were guarding the border. I think, well, you know, if they would have been guarding the border with extreme prejudice, there wouldn't be anybody around us soon.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go in. I don't want to shoot any Mexicans. These people, you know.
I mean, I don't either, but I don't agree with Bush opening the borders up.
No. And again, you just said it, man, with Bush opening the borders up.
You know, but, even before that, I know people that, you know, lived out in North Carolina and farther south in Georgia. And, you know, from, not that I agree with it, but from a business owner's perspective, if you can get guys that will come on the job and will work all day, you know, that you're paying Billy Bob $20 an hour and he can put up 2,000 foot of pipe a day. And you play Juan Valdez, $8 an hour, and he can run 5,000 foot of pipe a day. You know, from a business standpoint, it makes more sense to have Juan working for you than it does to have Billy Bob.
Well,
I agree with
now,
that.
Now, Brian, I understand that. And you know what? That's a fault of the... Yeah, one of the things that contributes to that, we got to take the break, but one of the things that contributes to that is the absolutely unfair and unlevel, uneven playing field that we compel in this in this country, that we compel organized labor to play on. Because you know what, if applies to labor, they need to figure out how to organize the Mexicans,
right?
Because you know what, you're not going to have that, you know, if I organize Juan, you're not going to have that luxury of paying him $6 an hour for what you're paying maybe 10, 15, 20 bucks an hour somebody else to do,
right?
And then suddenly, some of your foreign labor problem goes away. But we got to hit the break, Brian. Thanks so much.
Okay,
those are some compelling thoughts, and I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Bye now. Okay, break time. Then more of your phone calls when we come back. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A busload of seniors left Beckley this morning for a rally at the Civic Center in Charleston that's spotlighting senior issues in West Virginia. The third annual rally's purpose is to bring to the attention of lawmakers the concerns and needs of senior programs throughout the state. Jack Tanner, executive director of the Raleigh County Commission on Aging, and one of the senior groups attending today's rally, and he said one of the main goals is to make their case for a fair share of lottery revenue.
Many years ago, when the lottery was first started, the insinuation and certainly assumption was that a third of the lottery money would go to senior citizens, a third would go for education, and a third would go for tourism. From that original lottery money, the most that we ever received of 22%, we've never gotten the full one-third, and that's what we're pushing for by having the rally at the Civic Center.
Governor Manchin spoke to the crowd of seniors today. Also, House Speaker Bob Kiss was a presenter. Raleigh County's Russ Weeks was the lone dissenter in a Senate vote for a bill that would establish a separate fire code for bed and breakfasts. The bill allows B&Bs to have as many as 6 rooms with 12 guests without having to follow stricter fire codes that apply to motels. Weeks argued that a provision to prohibit smoking in the inns is actually a smoking ban for the homes of operators who live there. But Senate Judiciary Chairman Jeff Kessler disagreed. He said the ban, which in most bread and breakfasts allowed already follow, is a trade-off for installing a sprinkler system. Meanwhile, State Fire Marshal Sterling Lewis has said concerned that safety rules don't go far enough. He says that the portable chain ladders allowed under the proposal don't meet fire codes in any other state, but that operators successfully argued that most small inns cannot afford the extra stairwells and sprinkler systems supported by Lewis. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Mostly clear with temperatures falling to the mid-teens tonight. The rest of the night will be clear. But then for Friday, partly cloudy, a little bit warmer. Tomorrow's high in the upper 30s to the low 40s. Then a chance of rain late tomorrow night. Rain or snow late in the night. And rain or snow on Saturday morning. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, from the AFL-CIO's winter meeting in Las Vegas. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Teamster proposal to cut the money local unions send to the AFL-CIO in half and use it for organizing instead was defeated on a 14-7 vote of the Labor Federation's Executive Committee in Las Vegas. Teamsters President James Hoffa says his union, the SEIU, UFCW, the UAW, Unite Here and the Laborers Together, represent 40% of workers in the AFL-CIO, and they'll keep fighting for their reform proposals until the National Labor Convention in Chicago in July.
We believe that a massive shift in resources and focus to organizing and growth in our union core industries and sector is the only path to rebuilding worker power in the workplace and in the political process.
SEIU's Andy Stern started this reform debate. He says organizing resources need to be beefed up and unions can't rely just on political action.
We need to change the institutions like the AFL-CIO to be focused like a laser beam on rebuilding the strength of workers to the days when it could change the lives of people in our country. We are confident we can do that.
Stern was disappointed by the vote rejecting the reform plan.
I don't think there is another plan yet for growth. And I happen to personally, and this is just my personal belief, do not put my faith in elected officials of either party to change the lives of our members alone.
AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Rich Trumka says a plan proposed by Federation President John Sweeney, welding politics and organizing together, was passed on Wednesday. He said he couldn't reveal details, though, because the full AFL-CIO Executive Council hadn't yet seen the details. And Trumka said an historic reorganization of state and local labor councils, political and organizing efforts also passed on Wednesday.
For the first time, they're going to have to submit strategic plans with us. They're going to have to coordinate their efforts with us so that we have the people on the ground at all levels of the organization focused on organizing, focused on growth, focused on politics. I hope that we don't just take a snapshot for change and then at the convention say, okay, we changed, that's it. I hope we institute the process of change so that from this day forward, we're continuously looking at ourselves, changing ourselves, and changing the labor movement to meet the needs of the people that we represent. And that's the working women and working men of this country.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Personal incomes took their sharpest decline in more than a decade in January. New numbers from the Commerce Department reveal personal income dropped 2.3%. That follows a record increase in December of 3.7%. A drop in sales of durable goods, such as cars, also caused consumer spending to remain stagnant for the month of January. Analysts say a Microsoft stock dividend payment skewed the numbers.
More news at laborradio.org.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Not to mention West Virginia's best live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid, which would be me. Listen, without any further ado, let's go back to the phones. Jim is with us and has been waiting. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
Oh, reasonably well.
Good.
Well, you know, I think it was Keats who said an ode to a Grecian urn that a thing of beauty is a joy forever.
I believe you're right.
Well, you know what I say?
What?
A thing of beauty is a joyful sunrise.
Got to get that snare drum and hi-hat in here one of these nights.
Do what now?
I got to get that snare drum and hi-hat in here one of these nights so I can really do the rim shots.
Oh, dude, I put one on Slush Rimball yesterday.
Yeah?
Well, you know, that pharmacist, and this is totally cat and dog what you were talking about, and I don't mean to depart from your line of thought here. But
that's okay. It was a hazy line at best.
Okay. Now, you know, they popped this pharmacist up in Charleston who made 270 large by selling lots of cotton.
That's right. I saw that story.
Now, she's going to get at least 20 years in the federal penitentiary plus a gazillion dollar fine, right?
As far as I understand it, yes.
Or what are they going to do to Mr. What's his name?
The junkie. Just call him the junkie.
I mean, you know, without the demand, there is no supply.
That's true.
And, you know, I tried to make that point clear the other day, and a lot of people just seem to put her in one camp and him in another. And I don't understand that type of inequity.
It's a funding inequity.
Oh.
And, I mean, if the stories are true, You know, Flush was sitting on thousands of hits of OxyContin.
80,000, Bob.
And what did and how many thousand pills?
70.
She sold 70,000, mm-hmm. And she made how much money off of it?
270.
Large. And yeah, and that was and that was wholesale. So do the math. I mean, frankly, if it could be verified that he had that much stuff sitting around here fiddling around trying to figure out why he hasn't been charged with doctor shopping, it's small potatoes. Why hasn't he been charged with possession with intent to deliver?
Exactly, because the man had a lot more than for his own personal use, you know.
Yeah, and he couldn't have used that much.
I mean, you know, for example, like for marijuana, if you get popped, you can get popped for simple possession, mm-hmm. or if there's more than the amount, if you feel your own personal stash, it's possession with intent to distribute.
Right.
And the same law applies to legal force and any other type of control.
It certainly does. And I mean, let's assume that was a 4-year supply. He's taken 20,000 OCs a year.
Right.
Again, I don't have my little calculator in front of me. But I don't need a calculator to figure out that that's more than a human being can ingest.
I mean, he was apparently trying to corner the market on this stuff.
I don't know if he'd been reading one of those Hunt Brothers books, but...
I don't know. I don't know. But, it just seems that people will just let him... And he's going to probably get away with that because of his own golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rule.
Well, that and he's got,
That pisses me off.
It doesn't do me any good either, but consider how the ACLU's on his side. That's what blows my mind.
And they'll defend anybody.
Well, and yet you'll never hear the Savage Wiener or any of these other right-wing weirdos say, the Wiener makes a habit out of... blasting the ACLU.
Oh, he's always been on their hide to the door, or he tries to.
Yeah, and they're protecting one of his own. You know, no matter. See, it's kind of interesting if you follow right wing radio, Jim. They're desperate and they're scrambling.
I try not to.
Well,
I can't.
Flush Flemball is out there, and George W. Bonghit can do no wrong. Everything George does is right. I mean, literally, he's a paid shill. Just like George Will, just like Maggie
Thank
Gallagher,
you.
Just
Thank
like,
you.
Right. And I mean that sincerely. In his early days, he was bankrolled by this conservative foundation and that conservative think tank. Mm-hmm. You don't make all that money selling mattresses, baldness cures, and erectile dysfunction herbal remedies.
No.
You don't do that. And so it's interesting to watch them. That's his gig. And now, if you listen, and I know it's hard to do that and maintain your gag reflex, but for instance, Wiener is out there and he's gooning on George Bush now because he has lost any target. The whole idea of right wing talk radio is the idea of those who have all the answers and are on the outside looking in. Okay. Well,
okay.
Now they're the insiders, and they got nothing to carp about because they've got the House, they've got the Senate, they got the White House, they got the Supreme Court, they've got a majority of the governorships in this country, mm-hmm. and we are fast swirling down the toilet.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know this: that whatever happens is bad for this country. They sure as hell can't blame it on the Democrats.
Yeah, watch them try. But Falafel Boy, Buzzer Boy, O'Reilly, he's out here coming, he caught flack for coming down on James Dobson the other night over the SpongeBob Gay Pants debacle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, these people, these right-wing idiots are utterly without topical material.
Well, they're basically like a school of barracudas, when one of them loses any sign of stability when it's swimming in the sea. The other ones turn on it and just tear it to pieces.
Oh, and, you can hear that in Wiener. You know, he refers to Flush as, Hush Bimbo. And yeah, and he refers to O'Reilly as the Leprechaun.
By the way, I saw Leprechaun 1 and Leprechaun 2 the other the other day.
Filmmaking at its highest form.
Absolutely.
I was flipping by and I saw a little leprechaun reaching for the girl's leg out from under the car. And
you saw that too?
Yeah.
I swear to God, some of that stuff makes a hell of a lot more sense than some of these people you're talking about.
Well,
I mean, it really does.
I know. I mean, what? Yeah, what I was talking about at the top of the show. What do you do when you've got a delegate who wants to put 1,000 feet between churches and bars, but she can't raise the buffer zone above 300 feet between little rooms where babies live sleep every night and strip mine jobs?
And who is this?
That's Linda Sumner.
Oh, our good Republican representative.
Oh, fine Republican representative.
I see.
You know.
Listen, did you get that email I sent you?
Yes, I did.
Well, did you read the figures in that?
Until my head hurt.
I tried to expose that this afternoon, not too successfully.
Well, the thing with trying to do numbers on radio, Jim, is that if you go very far, people who are on your side and people who aren't on your side, their eyes begin to roll back in their heads. Whether from anger and disgust or from a simple desire to evade reality.
Well, you know, Bob, where I come from, I had to do that. You know, I couldn't make a presentation without presenting the facts and figures to back it up.
I know.
Charts, graphs. I mean, the people I used to have to talk to and convince and explain things to, they wanted those numbers.
Sure.
I mean, you know, that's because really, when it comes down to everything, and no matter how qualitative facts are, you have to be quantitative, okay?
Yeah, but the problem is
the numbers.
The problem is we're working in radio, Jim, with you know, sort of a millstone around our neck, because you mentioned charts and flip charts and graphs and overhead projectors and things like that. We don't have that. And you know, somebody going down the road can't jot the number down. What the best thing to do is to present people. Well, for instance, like this Frank Luntz manifesto for how the Republicans can win in 2006. I could sit here and read it all night long, but you know, our side of the debate is fairly literate, so it's a lot easier for me to say, listen, you want to see this? You go to politicalstrategy.org/archives, and it's there. Frank Luntz, the way forward, and if you read it, you'll want to scream, because you know, the little monkeys flap their bat-like wings and hop up and down and screech and pick the nits out of each other's hair every time I mention Nazi. But the fact of the matter is, reading Frank Luntz's little playbook is like reading something by Goebbels.
Well, you're right, but you know, I don't think it hurts to mention a few numbers on radio. For example, like with Bush's current budget for 2006 and what it's going to do to this state.
Oh, we're crippled.
And the No Child Left Behind thing.
Mm-hmm. We're absolutely
impacting
crippled.
Impacting 25,000 or 24,000 West Virginia children. Or in Pell Grants, how it's going to impose a burden on nearly 35,000 students in this state.
And
I don't know. I mean, I've heard some of the right-wing people come out with, you know, facts and statistics, and you know, and I don't think it ever hurts.
No, and you know, it certainly creates room for debate. But you know, you're right. I mean, these big numbers are important. I mean, you know, for heaven's sakes, the Republicans are going to need those 26,000 children reasonably well educated so they could send them off somewhere and get them killed in another godforsaken war. You know, I mean,
right.
It's like cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Unless they lower the standards, you know?
Yeah, we could do that. Well, who needs a literate soldier anyway?
I'll tell you, man, it's really, really, really rough out there. And I'll tell you, what really killed me was the fact that we've gone from a surplus into a $427 billion hole.
And people, you know, you get the right wing. Well, you know, deficits used to be bad, but now they're really cool.
They're not cool.
No, they're not. And the thing is, they mean something. You know, it's like during the Lewinsky affair. Words mean something. So do deficits.
Right.
And when we're hanging bad paper all over the world.
I mean, we're not playing with Monopoly money here.
Well, no, we are. I mean, we're just printing it.
I mean, people just don't realize, you know. And the burden that deficit, has created basically puts every family in this state in debt, $37,000 per family.
Yeah, the people are calling it the Bush birth tax. I'm sure over at Raleigh General, some little baby was born today, Jim.
Right. What a legacy.
Yeah, and that poor little baby was born with something like a $43,000 albatross on its shoulder.
Well, absolutely. And by the way, all those facts and figures have been verified by CRS and CBO.
Oh, I know, but it doesn't matter because with the right wing, what you've got to understand, Jim, is that, they still worship Ronnie Reagan. And Ronnie Reagan said, facts, I'm not kidding, you probably remember it, facts are stupid things. Are stupid things. And facts are stupid things for the right wing because they live in Tinkerbell land where they, if they just wish for it hard enough, we'll have democracy and frisbees and wheat checks and biscuits and gravy all over the Middle East if we just wish for it hard enough. You know, there's and I say this, I know a little bit about this because my lovely wife used to be in kind of the business. There is something in the addiction realm called magical thinking.
Exactly.
And that's what these right wingers are engaged in. There is not a prayer of it ever coming true.
There's no threat of reality with these people.
And circumstances are dire and desperate, and yet they engage in this magical thinking, whether it be, well, we're not going to have to worry about the deficit because Jesus is going to come down in his golden Cadillac and take us all home, or because democracy is going to break out all over Iran.
Just like how they were thinking in Hitler's bunker during the last 10 days of the war, how all these miracle things were going to happen.
Yeah, the Hitlerjungen were going to go out and defeat the entire Soviet army.
Roosevelt died, Goebbels was telling Hitler, oh, it's come to pass. The astrological projections are true. And that's the kind of thinking that I think these people indulge in.
And it does go back to substance abuse. Because it's in the literature, as far as I understand it, Jim, it is called magical thinking.
You got it. I know all about that.
And this is
not all that, but I know about it.
You know, we're not going to have to worry about the deficit because the deficit's going to cure itself. You know, so I guess industry is going to come back to America and we're going to start manufacturing stuff all over again. And the dollar is going to climb in value and blah, blah, blah. You can't even analyze this. It's so crazy.
Well, these people, in my opinion, are so divorced from reality. And some of them are so wealthy, I guess they can afford to be. And others are so wannabe wealthy that they want to be. And some of them are just so woodenly stupid that they wouldn't have sense enough to come in out of the shower or rain. I don't know which it is. But, I mean, you got to have to realize that payday is Sunday.
Well, Jim, it's like, for instance, it's like this idea of democracy just blooming all over the Middle East. Suddenly, there's going to be a Tom Paine and a Tom Jefferson and a Ben Franklin on the corner of Fallujah and Najaf.
It just ain't so.
No, it's not. But still, let's assume it is. Let's assume these right-wing fantasies come true and democracy blooms all over the Middle East. What, I ask you, what is the United States going to do when one of those democracies, say, Iraq,
okay,
or Iran, because
right,
they're pure democracies now, they're
okay,
our kind of people.
Right.
But what's the United States going to do when one of those pure democracies says, United States, we don't like you. We're as free as we can possibly be. We love being free. But we think you're a little fascist. And we don't want to sell you oil anymore. What's the United States going to do to that democracy?
Well, I think that democracy may as well bend over and kiss its ass goodbye. Somebody's going to be putting big, big bombs or something over there.
Well, see, we know what's going to happen. There's already a paradigm in place for it, Jim. In 1952, Iran had a democracy.
And with Mossad,
Mossadegh.
And they looked at England and said, you know, you're all really free, but we want to be free too, and we want to be free of you controlling our oil, and we're not sure we want to sell it to you anymore. And Winston Churchill turned the screws on Dwight David Eisenhower.
And the CIA turned the screws on him.
On Mossadegh. And installed the Shah, and they carried pictures of Mossadegh when they took over our embassy in 1979.
Let me tell you, friend, those people are masterminds of dirty tricks, and it's just incredible. But, you know, Malcolm X said that chickens will come home to roost, and I swear to God, I think some of them cases they are, you know?
I tend to agree. Jim, thanks so much. We got
to
roll.
You're certainly welcome. I'll talk to you later. And
all right. Take care. Bye now. And Jack. Hey, Jack, you're head on. Jack.
Bob, you're going to give me 2 minutes again, aren't you?
No, sir.
And that makes me rush my words.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what.
Let's talk about 18-wheelers.
Okay, well, stand by, Jack. I tell you what. I don't want to short sheet you. I want you to have all the time that you need.
I usually rush and don't make sense, and I'm sorry about that.
No. I'm not trying to rush you. I don't want anybody to feel rushed on this show.
Well, can I call back?
You absolutely can. You're number one out of the gate after we get back from the news.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes, indeed. I just want to give folks a chance. You know, I don't know. Sometimes people don't like to wait on hold. So, you know, we'll sort of start over with the. As though we hadn't. Yeah, you understand. You know, I'm not kidding. These Republicans live in fantasy land. Tinkerbell stuff. Wish. Oh, if you have to believe if Tinkerbell is going to live, you have to believe. Nothing pure Tinkerbellism on the. You have to believe there's going to be democracy. Well, sunshine, there might be democracy in Iraq for a year, 2 years. I doubt it. But what matters is whether or not there's democracy in Saudi Arabia. And we're never going to allow democracy to blossom in Saudi Arabia. Because it is not in our national security best interest. And anyone who thinks it is, well, heartbroken about what I said about Tinkerbell. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head on.
A, B, C, G, G, I can't remember.
Poor nutrition in his first 5 years can limit memory development. Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. To find out more, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you, and you have WIC.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 8 o'clock.
Well, AISI, it was NBD.
You don't know what your kids are saying online, or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. Help delete online predators. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
So, Kristen, how was Esther's baby shower?
Oh, great.
Yeah?
You know it's a girl, right?
Oh, wow. What's her name?
It's one of those names.
Excuse me?
You know, one of those names. Shakita, Juanita, Jaquita. Why do black people like those kinds of names anyway? They just make it harder on themselves, you know what I mean?
No, Kristen. I don't know what you mean.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, 5 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Waiting for Jack. Jack! In the meantime, though, a couple of little surprising matters. Or not surprising. It was surprising. President Yellowstreak mentioned Osama today. Did you catch that? I guess that means what? There's only 2 more weeks of winter? No, that's the groundhog. Well, they're both afraid of their shadow. Why today? Who knows? But, you know, he never mentioned him during the campaign. Heavens, it may be, this may be a benchmark of years since he's mentioned Osama. Years. And meanwhile, the other thing, because I know there's been a lot of monkey jumping up and down, flapping their nasty little bat wings, evil, vile, nasty creature, among the elite of evil, nasty, vile Republicans, Rick Sanctum Santorum of Pennsylvania today demanded that Senator Byrd retract his comments. What I'd like to know, you know, they don't jump up and down and flap their nasty little wings and screech and pick nits off of each other when he talks about ancient Roman history. And trust me, I guess it's a sign of their abject, hopeless ignorance. Because Senator Byrd talks about some moments in Roman history that if they knew it and understood what they were being compared to, they would jump up and down and flap their nasty little bat wings and screech and pick nits out of each other's hair. Oh, yes, they would. The brothers Gracchi, great reformers of the Roman Republic, attempted to empower the poor and raise the middle class, and they were slaughtered by the patricians. Both of them. The cases that Cicero argued, which Senator Byrd has referred to from time to time, oh, the Republicans, if they understood it, they wouldn't like it at all what he's compared them to. But Senator Byrd comes out and cites... Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. Cites a historian by the name of Alan Bullock. Okay? Alan Bullock. And Alan Bullock wrote and Byrd quoted, Hitler needed a two-thirds vote to pass that law, and he cajoled his opposition in the Reichstag to support it. Bullock writes that, quote, Hitler was prepared to promise anything to get his bill through with the appearances of legality preserved intact. Hitler's originality lay in his realization that effective revolutions in modern conditions are carried out with and not against the power of the state. Listen to that. Revolutions in modern conditions are carried out with and not against the power of the state. The correct order of events was first to secure access to that power and then begin his revolution. And these sad little freaks are screaming in the streets about these comments. Don't tell any of the good, godly, upstanding, moral Republicans, but back in 1994, Newt Gingrich was calling this the Republican Revolution. So he quotes a historian and this weird... You look at Rick Santorum and you feel like you gotta get a shower. Remember Rick Santorum? And this guy is so upright and so moral, and he ripped off the school system in western Pennsylvania with a howling fraud, pretending that his children lived in western Pennsylvania while they were going to school in Washington, D.C. so he could get some extra money. There's your almighty Republican God, money. So this guy rips people off of money, but because he's a Republican, it's okay. You know, that particular program in Pennsylvania was used, well, it could have benefited some kid who wasn't a senator's son or daughter. But that that public trough is there for Rick Sanctum Santorum to sup at, sunshine. But he is shocked. He is appalled. He is disgusted that Senator Byrd, who knows more history than Santorum will ever dream of, who has forgotten more history than Santorum will ever damned well learn, would mention Hitler's rise to power in describing the fact that the Republicans are trying to do the same damned thing with regard to the United States Senate's long-standing right of open-ended debate, the filibuster. I despise these Republicans. If they could take a principled stand, it might be a little bit different. If they could just come out and say, look, we're the party of the corporations, and we're going to act in the best interest of the corporations, and you vote for us on that. But you see, because that is what they do. But you see, if they told you that, no rotten, stinking Republican would ever get elected. Ever. Hitler never abandoned the cloak of legality. He recognized the enormous psychological value of having the law on his side. Instead, he turned the law inside out and made illegality legal. Apply the duck test to this. If it walks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, and it duck steps like a duck, maybe I should have been talking about geese, it's a duck! Is the Republican Party trying to pass a law that he is trying, that they are trying to con other Democrats into going along with? Is he? And have they, in fact, the Republicans, are they prepared to promise anything to get their bill through and still look like they're behaving in legal fashion? Are they? That's not a description of Hitler. Take Hitler out of the sentence. That's a description of Republican legislative maneuver and strategy. The Medicare prescription drug bill. Democrats weren't even allowed into the negotiations. Congressmen were bribed. Congressmen were threatened and cajoled. Frankly, the Democrats in Congress would have been better to walk out and say, we leave you to this bill, and we leave you to answer for it, and we will have no part of it. But my party, which has an ugly little streak of go along, get along, compromise, negotiate, didn't have the stones to do that. And so naturally the Republicans come out and say, bedsheet Byrd, former Klansman Byrd. Sunshine, that was 1942, 1943, maybe 46. But look at the Republican Party now. David Duke, anybody? He's still a Republican. They still haven't thrown him out. Timothy McVeigh, Republican. BTK, Republican. Susan Smith's father, yeah, Republican. Pretty is as pretty does, sunshine. It's time for a break. We'll be back in your phone calls. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The clock has been reset and the slate is wiped clean. Is this the year you find true love? Because if you really want to find,
You've got to be willing to seek. And the best place to start your search is Cupid.com. Even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, Cupid's Auto Match helps you find guys with your favorite traits and qualities. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. But the greatest thing about Cupid.com is their local focus. They bring you together with people who live close by, people who can actually be there for you. All you've got to do is go to Cupid.com and browse their pictures and personals with complete anonymity. Whether it's online or at one of their fun local events, when Cupid.com helps you seek, true love is what you find.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
I'm a good pal, a field with one hand, and chop along just as well as a man. When it came to increasing disease resistance, that woman could lactate like nobody's business. Mama's nursing help raise a healthy family. There's nothing she wouldn't do. She helped us kids get through the less risk for ear infections and respiratory illnesses. When I think of Mama, brings a tear to my eye. She gave from her heart or somewhere's nearby. Call 800-994-WOMAN or visit 4WOMAN.gov to learn more. Or talk to your health care provider. These babies were born to be breastfed exclusively for 6 months. This public service message brought to y'all by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station. Yo, breastfeed now, you hear?
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Okay, I've heard it all now. I guess that's targeted towards some demographic, but country western breastfeeding. Yeah, well, okay, that's the order. It works. We'll have to run that again later. I've got the story here in the stack. Let's go to the phones. Enough waiting around. Hey, Gary, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing tonight?
All right, I guess.
Hey, you got the goods on everybody, don't you?
I'm trying.
Hey, listen, Bob, now get real here. Robert C. Byrd was a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, for like 18 months.
Well, his voting record in the 60s reflected his feelings. I don't understand why Robert C. Byrd gets a pass on something like that. That is a very, very serious matter.
He's never gotten a pass. He himself has repented of it and stated what a terrible, terrible thing it was for him to have done.
Well, it really was, but I mean, how come if George Bush did something 30 years ago, like didn't show up for a roll call in the National Guard, that's such a big deal? But
because he hasn't repented of it, Gary.
Oh, is that the trick, is to repent?
Well, you know, the last I checked.
I repent of being a Republican, Bob. Can I get a pass?
Damn right.
Huh?
Damn right. I'll give a pass to anybody who repents of their Republicanness.
Well, you know, the bottom line, they are corporatists. But, you know, I'll tell you, Bob, I see the same thing on both sides of the aisle. Maybe it's simplistic, but I break it down like this. Your Democrats are statists, your Republicans are corporatists. When they meet together somewhere at the top, it all becomes fascism, and that's really what it all adds up to. And, I mean, I can understand your criticism of a lot of things Republicans do, but, you know, on your side of the aisle, are we to pretend nothing goes on over there that isn't against the people? Look what Manchin did the other day with this deal with the insurance companies. Now, that's a Democrat doing that. Now, you know darn good and well that's not true.
And I have lambasted that position.
You have, and I think you deserve credit for that. But it goes to illustrate that, you know, we're really at the victim of both sides of the aisle right now, I believe.
Well, but, Gary, there is a group with whom you would be very, very happy. And on my side of the aisle, we call ourselves progressives. We call ourselves liberals. And 9 times out of 10, you espouse liberal thinking. Now, I know you've been, I know, for 10, 15 years we've been told that that's right up there with eating babies, but it's not. You know, that's just agitprop.
Well, you know, this is my most serious attempt to make you mad, okay?
Okay.
I listen to Michael Savage at night.
I know. We're trying to get you over that.
And 90% of the time, you and him are right on the money on the issues.
I listened to him all the way home, and I couldn't disagree with you more.
Well,
you know, I mean, I think that, like I said, there are times I think, you know, okay, he's coming around. He's saying, you know, why did George Bush get us into this war?
Well, you know, he
need to nuke him.
George Bush as much as you do. And much of the same criticism that you level at George Bush, he does as well.
Yeah, but see, that on his part, Gary, that is a front. Okay?
I don't think so.
It absolutely is, Gary, because he wasn't doing that before the election.
Well, he looked at what was going to be the lesser of two evils.
Butter wouldn't melt in George Bush's mouth.
The lesser of two evils.
But now George Bush is a screw up.
Well, George Bush is not a conservative, and that's why Michael Savage doesn't like him, and that's why a lot of conservatives don't like him, because he really is not a conservative. He is some sort of fascist.
Well, they didn't not like him well enough to throw him out of office. We'd had 4 years of him, and we knew what was coming. So I take it as great big crocodile tears to hear big insult. Now I'm making you mad. Hear Michael Wiener say that he doesn't like George Bush. I mean, for heaven's sakes, it's like the old joke about the lady that picks up the injured rattlesnake and nurses it back to health, and one day it bites her in the neck, and she's laying there dying, and she says, "I nursed you back to health. Why did you do this to me?" And the snake says, "Lady, you knew I was a rattlesnake all along."
Yeah.
You know, we knew what George Bush was.
Well, I mean,
you know,
the lesser of two evils. People are saying, am I going to take arsenic or am I going to do myself in with cyanide? That's all it really boiled down to, in my opinion.
But I can't see that where John Kerry was concerned.
John Kerry, without us going revisiting that, to me, did not impress me a bit. I thought he was a very self-serving man. He's one of those blue-blooded Eastern aristocrats, just like George Bush.
You ever read Beowulf?
I read about four-fifths of it.
Four-fifths of the quart of it.
Yeah, that's where I stopped.
There's a monster in there called Grendel.
Yes.
And then there's Grendel's dam.
Uh-huh.
And you talk about the lesser of two evils. You know, I saw it as a battle between Beowulf and Grendel. Now, Beowulf was a violent man. But
pretty incredible man out there fighting dinosaurs at 80 years old.
Right. But the thing is, he was fighting the people he was supposed to be fighting, whereas Grendel was just a destructive monster. And we reelected Grendel. I mean,
honestly, in your heart of hearts, tell me that any of these jokers up there right now, any of them, on either side of the aisle, are trying to do anything for us? Aren't they doing it all for themselves?
Well, no. There is a rock solid handful of people that would like to do stuff for us because they come from us. Okay, but they are routinely stymied at every turn by the corporatists, by the Republicans, by the go along, get along Democrats. I mean, for heaven's sakes, Joe Lieberman is getting ready to sell out the Democratic Party for whatever is offered. He got that big wet sloppy kiss the night of the inauguration, and he's out there talking, saying, "Well, I'm not sure that we need to completely change Social Security, but we could probably change it a little bit." You know, and that's all George wants is a little bit, because that gets the camel's nose and two humps under the tent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
well,
he,
I like
you know,
the way you put it, man.
He'd sell us out in a heartbeat.
American people believe in their own background, their own forefathers, their own constitutional principles anymore? You know, during the break there, you had a little news blurb by Carl Mack there, said that a bunch of senior citizens got on a bus down here, and they're heading for Charleston to make sure that they get their share of the lottery money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we've come down to. We're all just out there grabbing. I'm going to get a bunch of truck drivers together, and we're going to go to Charleston to make sure we get our share of the lottery money. And I guess maybe you ought to get a bunch of talk show hosts and people there at the radio station to make sure you get your share of the lottery money. I mean, that's what we've turned into.
Well, there's Gary, I can't take issue with you on that, because the fact of the matter remains that we are a viable culture. We have been trained since the advent of, I won't say radio, I'm more like television. Since the advent of television and the pervasiveness of televised advertising, we have been trained to view everything in a consumer transactional mode.
Well, it might even predate that, because you know Thoreau talked about the commercial spirit of the times way back then.
Well, you're right. Okay, let's draw a line and agree that it probably really, really changed for the worse with the rise of the corporation.
Oh yeah. So the corporations have made the people of America into their slaves, and the people of America have enjoyed their slavery. They don't know any better.
And on the day that the United States Supreme Court ruled that a corporation was a person just like you and me, no one probably even recognized it at the time, but that may very well have been the first knell on the gong.
Well, you know, I tell what these guys like to do, because they're all lawyers up there. They like to do things that
not
they
all
can see, but we can't. That's what Paul, when he calls up and he talks to us, that's what he's all about. They do a lot of things, and we just don't see it because we just don't speak the lingo.
They're not all lawyers.
Oh,
Gary.
I know.
Some of them are doctors, and those are the really bizarre ones.
If they speak Latin, let's beware of them. Okay.
Hey, I'm a Latin scholar. Easy. this Coburn from Oklahoma, who's obsessed with lesbian conspiracies in his home state. This weirdo dement in South Carolina who is absolutely convinced that a homosexual should never, you know, whether they're in the closet or out of the closet, should never be allowed to teach a child in school, and how we're going to find out a closet, I don't know. And then there's Bill Frist.
Yeah, but look at it this way, too, Bob. Issues like that are what grab our attention. In the meantime, they're stealing the country.
Well, okay, I'm with you there. But what I'm trying to get to is, we know who the bad ones are, Gary. But you know what I am probably chief among the guilty in this. I am very good at finding what's wrong.
Because, oh, come on!
Because it's easy to do. There is so much wrong.
Well,
but,
that's true. There is. But
if I get on here and do 3 hours of the good legislation that Nick Rahal has introduced, I mean, I got a story here that is bringing us more money.
Is that necessarily good?
It's better than not bringing us money.
Well,
I mean, all those blue states,
all these parkways, and all this other stuff down here.
Yeah, but all those blue states are out there paying the taxes. We might as well get some of them.
Well,
you know?
I can understand that, but why couldn't we channel it into more useful things than that?
Well, because the ideas aren't out there, and the political will's not out there.
I got something to tell you, but go ahead.
Senate won't limit consumer interest rates.
Well,
now this,
that's a Reagan deal there. You know that. He's the one who got all that going.
Oh, but dig it. Gary, sound like a Beatles album again. The Senate voted 74-24 to scuttle an amendment by Senator Mark Dayton, Democrat of Minnesota, who just wanted to limit consumer interest rates to, sit down, 30%. And
they used to put people in prison for usury.
Yeah, and what Senator
businessman.
What Senator Dayton pointed out was that some consumers pay as much as 1,059% when they borrow money. And
you know, I used to be a collector for Applied Card.
Yeah.
And I talked to a guy one night, and he says, I don't understand this. He says, I went out and bought a pair of cheap tennis shoes. Now he says, you tell me I owe you $300. And he did.
It's the miracle of compound interest.
Compound interest, late fees, all types of things like that. Yeah, yeah. They can really get it up there.
And so these Republicans tell us that they are the guardians of family values. Right, Gary? Now, you tell me what family wouldn't have benefited by having consumer interest rates limited to 30%.
Well, there's no doubt, Bob, you're right. They've been fooling us. I mean, you opened my eyes on that when you started talking about this abortion thing. And they've got the majority up there, and yet they don't know anything about it. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, they're fooling us. There's no two ways about it.
You know, I could do 3 hours on all the good that all the good bills that, I mean, that Nick Rahal, Dennis Kucinich,
What about Ron Paul of Texas?
Ron Paul has introduced some good
stuff.
Now,
he's a Republican.
He's like one of those old Republicans. You know, one of those that would have been
a real conservative.
One of those who would have been comfortable sitting down to dinner with Ike and Mamie, okay? You know, these new neo-Confederate Republicans would take Ike and Mamie out back and stab them to death, okay? That's just
well,
the way they are.
I think you're right about that. I really do, because I don't think these guys, what I always thought a conservative was, I mean, if you tell me that's what the Republican Party is today, I just don't know what you're talking about.
You know, I remember when Republicans were people who were really kind of finicky about the money. They didn't want to go around having foreign wars that we couldn't afford, and you know, they didn't want a social program that we weren't absolutely. I remember Republicans who created programs.
They were
Clean Air Act came in under Nixon, and it came in funded.
They were stingy. I mean, they were very, very well. The whole idea of conservatism is, you know, I'm sure you're conservative with your money at home. I mean,
have a choice.
Huh?
I don't have a choice.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that was the whole idea behind it. Now these guys, they've taken the whole idea and they've perverted it. They prostituted it. It's nothing but corporatism. It doesn't have a thing in the world to do with conservatism. And there are people out there that know what I'm talking about, and there's some out there that'll never get it.
Well, you know, I take grief for saying, you know, what a rotten bunch the Republicans are. And I guess there are some people who, you know, 20, 30 years ago, their families were Republicans around here, and they take real umbrage at it. But the fact of the matter is, when I talk about Republicans, I'm talking about today's Republican Party. This crowd that doesn't have any ideas.
Well,
this bunch, Bob,
to be fair here, I think the Democratic Party has changed a tremendous amount since the days of McGovern. It's not the party of Kennedy. It's not the party of Truman.
No, well, some of us still are.
Well, some still are, and some of us out there are still conservatives.
We're trying desperately to take our party back. There's a guy named Al Fromm, okay? He's the head of the Democrat Leadership Council.
Yeah.
And he remarked the other day that the Democrats needed to be a little bit more Republican.
Well, if they were more Kennedy-esque, a little more Truman-esque, I think it could sure draw a lot more voters.
But I agree. But look, Democrats had a chance to elect in the primary system a couple of guys who were Kennedy-esque and Truman-esque. They had a chance to elect Howard Dean.
You know what a lot of
they
people see
to elect
when they see
Kucinich.
The Democratic Party? What they see is they see Schumer, they see Feinstein, they see Schroeder. They see people like that. That's what, in fact, I'd say that's what I see. I mean, that's what scares me about the Democratic Party. I see Schumer, Feinstein, Schroeder, people like that, and that's what scares me about the Democratic Party. It really is.
Well, I'm absolutely frozen in my tracks at the idea of Hillary running. Because I'm scared to death she'll get the nomination, and I swear, as God is my witness, Gary, if she is nominated in 2008, I will vote for my left big toe. I will.
Explain that to me.
Explain it?
Yeah.
I've watched her kiss up too much. She had a chance to stand up on the Ohio vote. She sat down. Okay?
Hillary Clinton, in my opinion, is a very, very ambitious woman.
I respect her, okay? But
I mean,
the thing
she's
is,
going to do what she thinks is going to get her elected, in my opinion.
But, no, she's another go-along, get-along.
Did you hear... I listened to the Steve O'Brien show this morning. In fact, I even called in. We even agreed on something, believe it or not. But there's a guy that called in there, and he said it's all over the Internet if you do a Google search on it. He said the Coalfields Expressway, he said, you know who's pushing for that?
Who?
Halliburton.
Oh, Lord God.
That's what he said. I haven't checked it out, but that's what a guy said on the Steve O'Brien show this morning. He said Halliburton is one of the major forces behind this Coalfields Expressway. And now, why is that? Something's going on there. You know that.
Sure. Well, might make it. They're tied into energy.
Well, of course they're tied into energy, but.
Hey, Gary, we got to save it because Taylor's going to hit me with a skillet.
Okay, Bob.
We're out of here.
Nice talking to you.
Hey, good talking to you, Gary. Thanks for the good conversation. Listen, if you're on hold, please stick around. We'll come back. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Beckley man was arrested on drug charges yesterday after a brief high-speed chase. Demetrius James Johnson was arrested in front of his Jackson Street home after what police said was a drug deal that had gone sour in the parking lot of CVS Pharmacy on Bird Drive. Johnson led police on a four-minute chase on North Oakwood to New River Park, Bird Drive, and then back to North Oakwood. Police found cocaine as well as $400 on Johnson when they arrested him. He's been charged with distribution of a controlled substance, fleeing a vehicle, and driving on a suspended license, as well as other charges which are now pending. A Raleigh County man who has spent 4 years in prison for sexually abusing two of his children could be getting out soon. In an agreement with the state, Salathiel Questenberry of Beckley pleaded guilty Wednesday to lesser charges included in his original 5-count indictment. Questenberry was found guilty in 2001 of sexual abuse and sexual assault after his wife said he forced her to perform sexual acts on their young son and daughter. He was originally sentenced to a total of 15 to 35 years prison, but court-appointed attorney David Hart filed a writ of habeas corpus, questioning the admissibility of statements Questenberry made after his arrest and saying his original attorney was not prepared for trial. An Alderson woman faces up to 10 years prison after pleading guilty to misappropriation of money by an insurance company employee. 57-year-old Toni Williams entered her plea yesterday before U.S. District Judge David Faber. From 1998 and until May 2001, Williams embezzled and misappropriated between $10,000 and almost $60,000 of funds belonging to her employer, a State Farm insurance agent in Fairleigh. Williams was responsible for collecting premium payments. At her plea hearing, she admitted she embezzled some of those funds for her personal use and used some of them to conceal the embezzlement. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening, clear and cold. Tonight will be clear and cold, low tonight near 15. But then for Friday, partly sunny, a little bit warmer. Tomorrow's high near 40. There is a chance of rain and snow mixed late tomorrow night, extending into Saturday morning. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
In 2002, America's corporate barons were on the lam, fleeing the wrath of a public that was outraged by the raw ugliness of CEO greed, which had suddenly erupted out of Enron, WorldCom, Tyco, and so many others. You might recall that George W., feeling the political heat, loudly denounced the greed back then. To show his seriousness, Bush installed a new sheriff at the SEC, the agency in charge of protecting shareholders and the larger public from these out-of-control corporate chieftains. But 2.5 years later, the CEOs are no longer running away. Instead, they're running the SEC, signaling that the flag of reform has now been officially struck from the agency and replaced by the flags of the corporations it is charged with overseeing. The SEC recently capitulated on one of its key reforms. You and I would consider this a very mild, even meek reform. It would have required that the boards of directors that supposedly serve as a check on CEO actions not be entirely chosen by CEOs. Instead, in board elections, large shareholders would be allowed to put forth their own independent nominees for a couple of the board seats. Good grief, shouted the CEOs in unison. The Bolsheviks are coming. Democracy, you see, is abhorrent to corporate barons, and they mounted a massive lobbying campaign to get the SEC to stop this communistic encroachment on their totalitarian rule. Sure enough, in February, the SEC officials meekly ruled that this proposed reform had become stale with the passage of time, so they dropped it. This is Jim Hightower saying, what we have here is a victory of corporate political money. Last year, Bush, flush with campaign cash from CEOs, joined their lobbying effort against shareholder democracy. And John Kerry, also immersed in CEO money, simply refused to raise the hot issue of corporate corruption. So reform became a political orphan, and now it's been killed.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. 20 minutes until 9 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. I should remind you of the phone number. It's 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Isn't that easy? Email to wwnr@netphase.net or bob@headonradio.com. They both work equally well. Let's go right to the phones. Cherie has been waiting a while, and I appreciate it, Cherie. Thank you. You're Head On.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I wanted to hit on a topic that you were speaking about last night.
Okay.
The Father Acker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get on your boards rather frequently, and it seems like that a lot of people are taking up for Father Acker, And
Because he's not big enough to take up for himself?
Well, you know, he's the church, and it doesn't matter what the church does. They would like to down the union for what they're trying to do to protect West Virginians and everything done for them and who helped to bring them the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but
here's a man of God that is basically saying that fair wage isn't good enough.
No, it's no good.
Exactly. Now, the last time I checked, wasn't the church into it for charitable reasons? Not trying to steal money from someone who works a job in this state.
Well, you know, Sheree, it kind of depends on whether you take the long or the short view.
Well,
the church was complicit in the theft of God knows billions of dollars in gold from Spain and Peru. Was complicit in the murder of probably millions by now of individuals. So. It's kind of par for the course. And you know, let's bring it a little closer to home. Let's talk about in the last century or so when the pulpits were filled with paid-off preachers screaming that if you joined the union, you were going straight to hell because you were a commie.
Well, you know, I kind of take this view. They have that humongous debt that they're having to pay out to all those injured people that belong to the church. They got to make money somehow.
You mean those little raped boys?
Oh, Bob, you're not allowed to say that over the radio. Don't you know that? Don't refer to that. But the next time that these guys have the gonads to start dogging Wayne,
mm-hmm.
You know what? It's very easy to sit and write and never espouse your thoughts because your thoughts can be attacked. Your ideas can be attacked. And they're not brave enough to do that. What Wayne does every single day helps take care of West Virginia.
And West
Virginia. You better know who's your friend and who's not. And if you don't have the gonads to get up and say it, don't even write it.
Well, the fact that, you know, they're my message board, Sheree.
Yes, and, I understand that.
And I have gone back and forth on them because I've been pretty disgusted with them from time to time.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
I have... Go ahead.
I don't think that they're bad people. I think some of them have rather colored thoughts as to what's right and wrong. I mean, I'm sure that these people could not believe half of what they write.
Oh, I don't side with you on that one, Sheree. I believe they honestly, in many instances, are every bit as hateful as what they write.
No, it's because the dog syndrome. They come home from work and they're frustrated and they're unhappy. And they think that they can just get on there and use it as a release.
Okay. One-handed typing. But the point...
I saw that. Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to reach here is I asked a long time ago and was roundly screamed down. I said, look, this is a conversation among the people on the board about issues and topics. And... if the person is not on the board, they're not subject to attack unless they are, you know, political figures, that kind of thing.
No.
And they absolutely refused to abide by that idea.
Well,
so and that started on a particular occasion when they were attacking a little old lady. You know,
that's the thing, Bob. It's really easy to do behind a keyboard. They're so brave and they're so intelligent. You know, at least Jeff calls in.
That's true.
I give Jeff kudos for that because we may disagree, but at least he's got enough to call in.
Right. I understand that.
Don't sit behind a CRT and be a coward. If you got something to say to somebody, say it because I guarantee you, boys, Wayne can take you down in a heartbeat.
Yeah, now see, you're playing into that.
I'm talking about verbally.
Yeah, intelligent,
yes,
in terms of intelligence.
Yes, I'm not talking about anything other than that. He's a very intelligent man, and he works for West Virginia.
Yeah.
He's dedicated to what he does. He's not a thug. There's nothing wrong with him. And you would rather, or not you, but these people would rather follow someone that they know nothing about. Call Wheeling Jesuit and see how much they like your father. check it out.
Yeah.
Other people have.
Yeah.
What we know, you don't know, but you can't figure it out on your own.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, if you'll look, no, you'll find.
I know.
I didn't go into that. But I just wanted to say that this evening. I didn't mean to.
No, that's
interrupt the flow.
No, that's okay. I mean, I think I'm glad you brought the issue up because I didn't want to sit here and lecture on it.
Well,
but the fact of the matter is, it's not just one individual. There's a host of individuals that they attack on a routine basis.
Well, they especially like to attack women.
Well, the point,
but that's the whole thing.
It's kind of gutless. I mean, attack. You know, there's
very much so.
There's plenty of people on the board to have a pretty steady back and forth. Okay.
Well, there are some people on the board that's made the offer. Let's get together for lunch, and these people run and hide because they don't want their faces seen. It's not that they're afraid; it's gutless wonders. That's all it is. And you know, if you can't back up what you say, what's the point of saying anything?
Well, I think you've just put a couple across the bow, Cherie.
Oh, I'm sure I did, and I'll hear about it tonight. But, Bob, you have a good evening.
I'll certainly try. Thank you very much. And I haven't heard from you in a while. Good to hear from you.
Been working.
I understand. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Now. Yeah, I think, well, she said it as well or better than I could have. But then, by the same token, for those who haven't been there, it is a free exchange of ideas, and what you know, what I don't like about it is the juvenile approach of some people. But on the other hand, I believe in the marketplace of ideas. I don't believe that you shout down, or I don't believe that you eliminate the opposition. You merely point out where they're idiots. See, wasn't that gentle of me? The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Back to Senator Byrd, whom I pray will not back down from his statements because he did nothing wrong. And what I find interesting is, and the dateline is Washington, a Jewish Republican group, I didn't even know those existed, is accusing Senator Byrd of making inappropriate comparison between Adolf Hitler's Nazis and the Senate's plan to destroy the Senate Republicans' plan to destroy the filibuster. And, of course, that pure agitprop, because there was no comparison between Hitler and the Republicans. In my personal opinion, Hitler was a rank amateur. These guys are subtle, and they're very, very talented at what they do. But what amazes me, you know, we've got a president who is part of this born-again movement, these radical right-wing Taliban fake Christians. Okay, and understand, I'm not talking about real Christians. I'm talking about these groups like, well, what Bush ascribes to, these end-of-times strange agents who believe that the return of Christ is an excuse to kill the world. And what amazes me out of all this is that there are Jews out there who are appalled by what Senator Byrd said, apparently, if this Matt Brooks, executive director of the Republican Jewish Coalition, what is this, you know, two or three people? But at any rate, he's appalled. And yet what he fails to understand is that he is supporting a man and a party that has been hijacked by a group of people whose dark and twisted vision of the message of Jesus Christ allows them to believe that one of these days they're going to get to give the Jews a choice. And I'm talking about Pat Robertson, and I'm talking about Jerry Falwell. God knows I'm talking about Bob Jones, James Robinson. You know, a lot of these freaks are funded, and I've got an email here from our buddy Chris. They're funded by Reverend Sun Myung Moon. But what the Jews don't understand is that they're dealing with a group of people you know, Hitler's people termed it the final solution. But in the vision of these right-wing, weirdo, what, twisted alternative universe Christians, you know, in that alternative universe where Jesus had a spear and a sword and ran around killing people, that universe, and they honestly believe, because, see, I was raised with some of this stuff, and I've heard these charlatans and these killers. I've seen their movies. I've read their books. I'm not speaking ex cathedra here. I know them for what they are. And they believe there will come a time when they get to take individual Jews one by one by one and say, confess Christ. And if the Jew says, no, thank you, run through with the sword or slash the throat until the blood sprays all over creation. Lop the heads off and let the blood run as deep as the fetlocks of a pony, or whatever it says, or they say. That is the ultimate grand plan of evangelical, weirdo, right-wing, not really Christianity. Every Jew, down to the last one, men, women, children, the aged, the infirm,
itty-bitty Jewish babies,
they're going to say, confess Christ. And if they don't, with the sword. Don't take my word for it. You can go and read Pat Robertson say it for himself. And you know what? Here's the sick part. They get really excited when they talk about it. It's disturbing. Disturbing? It's horrifying. I hope I can be here when the Lord comes back and I get to kill me some Jews. I'm not kidding. You know, pick up one of these horror novels by that Tim LaHaye monster. Pick one up. Pick up the right... You don't even have to buy anything. You can probably find it on the internet. Jerry Falwell. Only hope that I can see the return of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and immediately kill some Jews. Oh, heavenly days. And the sad thing is, the Jewish people don't know this. It's one of the biggest open secrets in America. B'nai B'rith would have a fit. The Anti-Defamation League would have a fit if they knew what Falwell and Robertson and Bush and Dobson and Jones and Robison and the Coral Snake Ministries in Florida had in store for them. All they need is a couple of more signs and they're going to start slaughtering Jews, sweetheart. This isn't a joke. There's nothing funny about this. And you know, it's not just Jews. You know, that slaughter me, my wife, my family, my neighbor's wife, my neighbor's family. Anybody that doesn't say, you guys have it all figured out. You know, we point at the Klan and we laugh a little bit because they're loony and they're really over the top with it. And we want a world where the white race can live in peace. And we're like, yeah, dude, well, you know, what do you take? Take Idaho, okay? Whatever. And, you know, these killer Republicans that bumped off Judge Lefkoe's husband and ancient, aged mother massacred them. You know, her husband was on crutches, never even had a chance. And we say, that's horrible. And right here in West Virginia, until I think he shuffled off to hell not too long back, the author of the Turner Diaries, inspiration for Timothy McVeigh from the heart of the Mountain State. And yet, in the midst of us all, and many of these people think that they swung the last presidential election, a group of people who hope to be alive when Jesus comes back so they get to kill some Jews. You know, the Jews saw Hitler, and some of them were able to flee. These people are right in their midst, and they have no idea. and some of them are actually complicit with them. Of course, that happened during the Second World War, too. So, no, I don't have a problem with what Senator Byrd said. The only problem I have with what Senator Byrd said is he didn't go far enough. You know, in the days leading up to the Second World War, Winston Churchill stood up and called the Nazis for what they were. And no one is actually standing up and calling the Bush administration for what it is. They are a horror. You know, it's the line from Apocalypse Now or Heart of Darkness. The horror. The horror. There is a danger stalking the land the likes of which this nation has never seen. Not even in the days of slave ownership were there plans for abject, utter genocide. But those plans exist now. And those plans are fomented in the churches of the Falwells and the Robertsons and the Dobsons and the Robisons and the Bob Joneses and the Oral Robertses and the Coral Snake Ministries. They're there. They're there. And ask them. They'll tell you right up front. Yep. When Jesus comes back, if the Jews don't confess him, we're going to kill him. You probably think I'm joking, because most of you take your faith very seriously, and you wouldn't hurt a fly. But it's there. And they will tell you to your face that that is the plan. I know it because it's been told to me, and I am a recovering Southern Baptist. So, keep all these things and ponder them in your heart. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World, where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 9 o'clock.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 5 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside the local area, that would be Beckley, West Virginia. It's 800-620-9967. Chris has been holding, and he's calling in from Alabama to put the lie to the idea that Alabama is just a whole bunch of Bush lovers, right?
You know, during this most recent presidential campaign, the only two candidates that came to Alabama, House made it first person.
George did make it to Alabama during
George
the campaign?
George made it down here.
Well, it's a miracle.
But the Democrats didn't even try.
Oh, no, no, no. We just gave up. They're not going to vote for John Kerry.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, you know.
Well, some of that's changing, though, Chris.
I certainly hope so.
Howard Dean has said repeatedly that the Democratic Party will no longer concede the South.
Well, that's what it's going to take.
Well, you can't win a fight you don't get into.
That's right.
And I know darn good and well that the state of Alabama is not just a whole bunch of knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing Republicans.
No, it's also a bunch of...
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm getting the echo.
Sorry.
That's okay. There's also a bunch of...
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt.
His arms aren't long enough to drag the ground, but if they were, they would.
But, I mean, you probably heard some of the things... You've probably heard some of the same things about, you know, what happens when Jesus comes back. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Jews going to die, you know?
Yeah, it's going to go back to the Old Testament. Oh, they don't believe in me? Well, kill them. Kill their kill their plants, kill their animals, kill, you know.
Yeah, salt the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Reverend Sung Young Moon.
Oh, brother.
Email I sent you.
Yeah, I've got it right here.
Buddy, there is so much to talk about there.
Jump on it. Go, man.
Okay, what about, I don't have it in front of me, but you have it in front of you.
Yes, I do.
Ashcroft, giving the speech.
Oh,
when he was a nominee.
Oh, and Bush giving a speech. Here's what it said. John Ashcroft also got into the act and appeared as most Bush family friends and family do. He appeared at an event for Moon. Here's the quote. John Ashcroft, the president-elect's nominee for U.S. Attorney General, dropped in on an overflowing interracial and interfaith inaugural prayer luncheon yesterday and brought down the house of 1,700 religious and political figures with a tale of amazing grace. And this is a group of Moonies, okay?
Oh, yeah.
This is not a bunch of Methodists. This is a country worth praying for, Mr. Ashcroft said, and told how he was drawn the other day to the poignant wail of a street musician's trumpet playing the notes of the hymn Amazing Grace. He stopped in mid-note, Mr. Ashcroft said, and put out his hand with a cry. Senator Ashcroft, I'm for you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The main point of that, that's a blog article that I wrote. The main point that I really wanted to send to you the moment what he said about Sung Young Moon.
Oh, it makes the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up.
Let's talk about the influence this man has.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Owns the Washington Times.
The
United Press International.
Yeah.
Television outlets.
Ties to the Bush family.
And this is the stuff that really is bizarre. And I'm sure that the hardcore evangelicals that listen to this show, and there are plenty of them, don't believe me. But I wish they would go and do their own research, because when Jerry Falwell's Liberty University was going in the tank,
yeah,
he gladly held out his hand and received mucho dinero to bail out that failing institution, and the money came straight from the hand of Sun Myung Moon, who says he is Jesus walking the earth as we speak.
And if you follow those links there, yeah, I went to the Sun Myung Moon's organization's website,
okay,
where I got these speeches. And at the one, I think it's the one that Ashcroft was at, and this big religious, Dobson was there, Falwell was there, all the hit parade.
Yeah, oh yeah. What?
And I think it was Dobson that said, isn't it great that all, no, it was Robert Shuler.
Yeah.
That said, isn't it great that all these people could be together in the same room? Adolf Hitler's cabinet pales in comparison.
It does. And
it really, really does. You made an excellent point. If people think, oh, you know, Bob's just going on, Bob's crazy. No, Bob's not crazy. Bob's sane, and so is Warren Churchill. You have to say what people don't want to hear. Piqued their curiosity. They can investigate it on their own.
Yeah, don't take my word for it.
Yeah, don't take your word for it. Don't take my word for it. Look for yourself.
Now, if you put Falwell on the stand and made him swear an oath on the Bible, well, first of all, the minute he touched it, it would probably burst into flames. But he would probably perjure himself. Because
he would not tell the truth. He would not.
If the thousands upon and millions of people, you know, and the little old ladies who send him their Social Security checks to keep his fat, doughy, white rear end in Rolls Royces and caviar were to find out that this guy was a Moony.
A good example of that is Jesse Ventura, when he was governor of Minnesota, had in this big flag with PBS.
Mm-hmm.
And PBS was going, you know, we need this, but he's like, he wasn't going to give any more funding to him after so much. And everybody's going, well, you know, they need that. And he says, look, all you got to do is get Garrison and Keillor to take a $1 million pay cut. Have all the money you need. Think Garrison and Keillor wanted to take a pay cut?
No.
No.
You know, this business about Africa. Free sex, homosexuality, and lesbianism will end due to AIDS and drugs. In large parts of Africa, 60% of the poor people have AIDS. They will collapse in 15 to 20 years. The AIDS virus hibernates for 8 to 12 years. They will be destroyed in two generations.
And it's and another quote is, I remember this, Sung Young Moon.
Yeah.
Said that if, and you can get it wrong, if the blacks know about wild sex, they only learn about it from white people.
Yep. That's exactly. Who likes free sex more, white people or black people? If black people like it, they do because they learned it from white people, right? Holy Moses, Chris.
That's, I didn't make this up.
No, but that's like 17 different levels of just obscene racial hating. I can't even talk.
I know. Okay, let's...
It's a Tower of Babel of racism and hatred.
Okay, all these people, all these religious leaders, the Bush family, have stood on the stage with this guy. Okay, let's just say during the Clinton campaign...
Ho.
Every town, Clinton had the leaders, the white supremacist party, and the leader, David Duke of the Klan, on stage with them, and they all joined their hands and saying,
God bless America.
God bless America. He wouldn't have won. They would be having government hearings.
Oh.
They would have banned him from on the borders of these states, wouldn't let him come in. But since you're a conservative, you can sit there and hold hands and sit on the stage and praise and take money from this guy that...
This international criminal.
13 years in, 13 months in prison.
Yeah.
For tax evasion. Well, you know, you can't be an established minister of any prominence in this country unless you cheat on your taxes.
Well, I mean, anybody that wants that, look up Youth Federation for World Peace and see who has addressed it and see whose organization it is.
That's right.
And yeah, and here's the fun part. Somewhere out there, Chris, is a wingnut who is giving George Bush a pass for this.
Oh yeah.
But again, if Clinton had done it,
they would have
gone out and conceived and birthed and raised a little Lee Harvey Oswald to bump Clinton off.
Remember,
if he had been tied up with Moon, do you see what I'm saying? That's the level of their hatred.
Remember that scene in the documentary, D.A. Pinnebaker's documentary, The War Room, about the Clinton campaign?
Mm-hmm.
The night of the election and all the votes are coming in, George Stephanopoulos gets a phone call. Of course, he doesn't say who's calling him. And the caller is saying that they're gonna leak that Clinton had a black child.
Yeah.
And Stephanopoulos goes, if you do that, no one in this business will ever take you seriously. Of course. They were crying wolf. They weren't going to do this because it didn't exist. They weren't going to do it. But that's how these people work.
But Drudge took that and ran with it.
Absolutely.
The New York Times printed that story.
Mm-hmm.
Liberal media, anyone? And you know, there was no foundation to it. There was absolutely no truth to it.
No.
But they printed it, the liberal media did, because it came from the right-wing megaphone.
You know, let's say that you or one of your listeners in Beckley, West Virginia tomorrow walk out their front door and get arrested and they charge you with the pedophile. Now, whether you're guilty or not, everybody on your street, everybody that reads that story in the newspaper is going to think, God, I didn't know that about you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you prove that you're innocent, you will always be that guy.
Who got charged with being
got
one.
Charged, yeah.
Sure, the charge is enough to... The charge is the damnation, Chris.
Yeah.
And I also remember during the Clinton campaign, they got wind of the fact that George Herbert Bush's people were going to announce that Clinton was having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And Carville got on the phone real quick and said, "Listen, Bubba, you do that because we've got all the notes about little George's affair," talking about Poppy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that one dried up and blew away.
Buddy, you don't mess with Carville.
No, you don't.
Not unless you're loaded for bear.
But
it reminds me of the old Lyndon Johnson line. By God, I'll make them deny it.
Yeah, I want to hear him deny it, absolutely.
I want to hear him deny it. And he was a Democrat.
Well, sure he was.
In name.
Well, no, he was a Democrat. Father of the Great Society. In many ways, a great man. you know, got sucked up into Vietnam by the military industrial complex, who said, you know, and it was the same speech we're getting about Iraq, you know. Well, you know, the problem isn't the fact that we're there. The problem is that we don't have enough people there. So, you know, if we put a million people in there and we kill a million more Vietnamese, we'll have it locked up.
But I'll tell you what, I got some incredible news yesterday.
Yeah?
I found out from my dad that my cousin, who has been in Fallujah for, I don't know, down in Kuwait, and he's on his way home, and he's going to be stationed at him.
Well, thank heaven for that.
He has made it out alive. I cannot believe it. I'm so glad. Then, as happy as I am for him.
Yeah, and there's a bunch more who won't come home. You know, we crossed 1,500 today, Chris.
Every day, my sweet little daughter asks me, Daddy.
The heck of a thing to start your life on. Thanks, George. We really appreciate it. And thanks, all you Bush voters. Thank you so much. We can't express to you our gratitude on public the public airwaves.
Yeah, she just told me that. She's just so glad that...
I'm glad you didn't have to give the other speech, Chris.
You know,
Well, you know, I you're where you are, and all you can do is try to build. You know, if you can go to a meeting or participate in some way, for heaven's sakes, do it.
Yeah. That's why I write these things every day. I know a lot of times that I'm preaching to the choir, people like you that read it every day, you agree with me. But I guess I can just only hope that somebody else is going to read it.
Yeah.
That's why you do this show every day.
Right.
You're doing what you can.
And we're trying to provide a forum so that the folks who, you know... Learn to stand up and fight, you know?
Every opinion is worth being heard.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I've been thinking about this for. The conservatives have got to figure out the most intelligent thing that you could ever say in this world is...
Yeah.
Have the courage to say, I don't know.
Well, you know, and it takes a lot of learning to get to that point.
Like, bits of education that miss some of this stuff. You know?
I know.
You've got to...
And just for the folks listening, unification.net.
Absolutely.
Unification.net. That's the Unification Church.
You don't have to wait to Halloween to be scared. You can go there.
Yeah. Have the little hairs stand up on the back of your neck. Chris, I appreciate it so much, man. Thanks for calling in.
Bob, hang in there. You're doing good work.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Later. Unification.net. And if you've got the courage to go and study it, you will be amazed at the people who have taken Reverend Moon's money and are doing Reverend Moon's bidding. Now, you know, there's no black helicopters hovering outside the window. But this is a guy who thinks he's Jesus. Not figuratively. Really. He really, really thinks he's Jesus. And or the next incarnation of him, because he says, Jesus Christ. He failed because he let him crucify him. And you're telling me that the Reverend Dick Land from down Nashville way, are you telling me that if he knew, and then again, he probably does know. He's probably on the take, too. If he knew that Jerry Falwell was out there taking money from Reverend Moon? Is that James Robison freak from Texas? Is he on TV anywhere around here? That guy takes money from Reverend Moon. How would the people who contribute to those charlatans, those frauds, how would they take it to know that they were contributing to a Mooney? That they were, by extension, Moonies themselves? Or have we forgotten what the Moonies were? Parents suffered in the 70s and 80s. And had to spend thousands of dollars hiring private detectives to go and take their children back from this Mooney cult and spend months deprogramming them. And I guess we've forgotten who the Mooney is, who Sun Myung Moon is. Big question is, what's going to happen to his organization when he shuffles off this mortal coil onto his reward? like a corporation. It'll keep going. His son or nephew or something like that will become the next, no, really, I'm the new Jesus guy. A month or so ago, we talked about the purification ritual that you have to go through with the sacred hanky with the sweat of Reverend Moon on it in order to have a true marriage in the Unification Church. And, you know, you got to stand on one leg and whistle those endearing young charms and face in the right direction and kind of have your tongue sticking out of your mouth the right way. And you got to have the holy bed sheets. And wow. And this is a guy who has financial... Go and what was it called? Let me get the piece of paper here again. Trying to find it here. The coronet, January 13th, 2001. January 13th, 2001, it was called the coronation ceremony of the kingship of God. Now, this one took place in Chungpyeong, Korea. But there was another one in Washington, and this is not the one I was thinking of. There was another one in Washington in, I believe, the House Office Building, in which senators and members of the House of Representatives alike came and placed a crown. These are members of Congress. There were Democrats, there were Republicans. And they came and placed a crown on Reverend Moon's head. And for those of you who know about this, I'm sorry if you're bored. This man has a more pervasive influence than you can begin to understand. There is a dark, seedy, nasty, creepy underbelly to these right-wing fundamentalist, the pseudo-alternate universe Christians that most of mainstream America doesn't know about and would be so horrified to even see that it would be like showing them an Aztec human sacrifice. They just, no, it's not going on. But it's there, and it's got its tentacles way down deep into our government. And you want, are there good, of course there are good congressmen. I personally believe, although I've differed with him on a couple of issues lately, I personally believe Nick Rahal is a good guy. Hard working. Trying to do his best for West Virginia and this particular district. John Lewis from Georgia is an amazing man. Dennis Kucinich, we know what I think of him. He's like, he's an old-fashioned Harry Truman, FDR Democrat. And they're scattered all over the country. That's the problem. They're scattered. Dick Durbin is an excellent senator. Robert Byrd, it goes without saying. He is the Senate. But again, they're scattered, and because they're scattered, you get things like this. From it happened today. I mentioned it earlier, talking to Gary. A modest proposal that would have limited consumer interest rates to no more than 30%. And it was scuttled. The vote was 74 to 24. I hate to tell you this, my good Democrat friends. There aren't 74 Republicans in the United States Senate. That 74 consisted of a whole lot of go-along, get-along Democrats. And this was part of the bankruptcy bill that's being pondered. You know, where they're gonna make you stay in hock to the credit card companies no matter what, no matter how, no matter why. Because the credit card companies are more important to the United States Senate than your family or my family. Senator Mark Dayton, who had sponsored the amendment, noted that consumers sometimes pay interest rates as high as 1,059% when they borrow money. And he said that goes beyond what we call predatory lending. That is terroristic lending. And he's right. You don't have to be some funny-looking, dark-skinned Arab guy to be a terrorist. Sometimes terrorists wear three-piece Savile Row suits and chomp cigars and ride in limousines. Who does more harm to an average family in the heartland? A predatory credit card executive who charges 1,000% interest when you figure it all out? Or some Arab off in the cave somewhere? Think about it. And yeah, they are comparable. So, you know, mull it over a little bit. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, no, that's not all there is to it. Maybe we should talk about the bankruptcy bill a little bit. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A busload of seniors left Beckley this morning for a rally at the Civic Center in Charleston that's spotlighting senior issues in West Virginia. The third annual rally's purpose is to bring to the attention of lawmakers the concerns and needs of senior programs throughout the state. Jack Tanner, executive director of the Raleigh County Commission on Aging, and one of the senior groups attending today's rally, and he said one of the main goals is to make their case for a fair share of lottery revenue.
Many years ago, when the lottery was first started, the insinuation and certainly assumption was that a third of the lottery money would go to senior citizens, a third would go for education, and a third would go for tourism. From that original lottery money, the most that we ever received of 22%, we've never gotten the full one-third, and that's what we're pushing for by having the rally at the Civic Center.
Governor Manchin spoke to the crowd of seniors today. Also, House Speaker Bob Kiss was a presenter. Raleigh County's Russ Weeks was the lone dissenter in a Senate vote for a bill that would establish a separate fire code for bed and breakfasts. The bill allows B&Bs to have as many as 6 rooms with 12 guests without having to follow stricter fire codes that apply to motels. Weeks argued that a provision to prohibit smoking in the inns is actually a smoking ban for the homes of operators who live there. But Senate Judiciary Chairman Jeff Kessler disagreed. He said the ban, which in most bread and breakfasts allowed already follow, is a trade-off for installing a sprinkler system. Meanwhile, State Fire Marshal Sterling Lewis has said concern that safety rules don't go far enough. He says that the portable chain ladders allowed under the proposal don't meet fire codes in any other state, but that operators successfully argued that most small inns cannot afford the extra stairwells and sprinkler systems supported by Lewis. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Mostly clear with temperatures falling to the mid-teens tonight. The rest of the night will be clear, but then for Friday, partly cloudy, a little bit warmer. Tomorrow's high in the upper 30s to the low 40s, then a chance of rain late tomorrow night, rain or snow late in the night, and rain or snow on Saturday morning. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Your MacArthur Walmart store will be opening soon, and Walmart is hiring. Join the world's best retailing team, recognized by Fortune Magazine as the most admired company in the world. As a member of the Walmart team, you'll receive competitive wages and enjoy benefits including merchandise discount, 401k, stock purchase plan, profit sharing, health benefits, and career advancement opportunities. Just come by Walmart's hiring center located at 158 Dye Drive in the Harbor Industrial Park weekdays between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. or call 252-2138. Walmart. An equal opportunity employer.
You've heard it all before. Lose weight while you sleep. Erase your debts instantly. Or make a fortune in your spare time. How about this one? Slash construction wages and 4 schools can be built for the price of 3. Ridiculous? Of course. Study after study proves that wage cuts won't reduce school construction costs. In fact, wage cuts hurt local companies and damage our communities. So don't believe everything you hear until you've heard the fact. A message from the ACT Foundation.
WWNR Beckley.
He played a sailor on screen and off. His story next on Biography for Radio. Sponsored by Leica. tomato.
Emerging research suggests you consume substantial quantities of tomatoes every day to reduce your risk of cancer.
5 tomatoes every day?
To get your daily dose, try Like Tomato.
Day after day.
All the power of 5 whole tomatoes in one little pill. With lycopene and all the other antioxidants found naturally in the tomato.
You're talking 152 tomatoes a month?
The power of 5 tomatoes in one little pill.
That's 1,825 tomatoes a year.
Look for Vitamin Shop brand Lycopene with Lycomato in your local vitamin shop.
At 8 years old, he joined his family dancing on the vaudeville stage. Later, he gave dance lessons at his own Pittsburgh studio. Destined for bigger things, he headed for New York. After the usual run of small parts, he was tapped for the title role in the hit stage musical Hal Joey. Hollywood beckoned, and his first big role for Me and My Gal established him as a smooth-moving star. He displayed a special knack for choreographing dances, especially for film, such as a duet with himself. In Anchors Away, playing a lusty sailor on leave, he cut a memorable rug with an animated partner, Jerry the Cartoon Mouse. But playing a sailor wasn't enough for this patriotic performer. During World War II, he enlisted in the Navy. After the war, he donned a uniform again, co-directing himself in another sailor-on-the-loose escapade, On the Town. His footwork in An American in Paris earned him an Oscar, and he co-directed one of Hollywood's most beloved musicals.
I'm singing in the rain.
When the era of Hollywood musicals faded, so did his career, but celluloid has forever preserve the fabulous footwork of Gene Kelly. For Biography, I'm Jack Perkins.
Biography is a trademark of A&E.
Okay, everybody, let's play Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? We'll start with Sam from Mobile, Alabama.
Wait, hold on. I don't want to volunteer.
Why not, Sam? We know you have the free time because you do absolutely nothing after school but sit in front of your computer.
Wait, you've been following me?
Yes, we have, Sam.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, let's have beautiful Cynthia here tell you what you could be doing.
Thanks, Bob. Hi, Samuel.
Hello?
Sam, you could take your computer knowledge and volunteer to teach people after school.
But
I don't know a thing about computers, but I'd love for you to teach me, Sammy.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Looks like we have another happy volunteer. To find out ways you can volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org and join us next time for another episode of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community?
Okay.
Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. It's 23 minutes before 10 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley. All right. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley is 800-620-9967. And I knew Jack would come back to us. Hey, Jack.
Yeah, Bob. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing.
I was wanting to mention, there ain't a thing wrong with union.
No.
You know, I worked for union, Continental Baking Company,
mm-hmm.
and everything was upright. Was no problem at all. It seems like here since George Bush got elected, he's been going for Mexico from the very start.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, these 18-wheelers, these boys driving that, they're professionals.
Yes, sir.
And that's one of the things I wanted to say about, but then, too, I could forget my conversation about what I was wanting to talk to you about. But there's a gosh darn thing wrong about union.
No.
Seems like to me what it is coming down to, they don't want nobody to tell them what to do. We used to run 72 loaves of bread a minute.
Wow.
At the union. And now you'd have union stores.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't a thing wrong with that. Everything went so pleasant. There ain't a thing wrong with union and these miners. He's got rid of the miners. Now he's going to get rid of the 18-wheelers. I mean professional drivers.
I know. Just make it a little harder and a little harder and a little harder for average Americans to live.
Well, where's going in that? There's no end to it.
Well, listen,
they want to get rid of union.
You know, Jack, when you get rid of union workers, that means you've gotten rid of needing to pay a decent wage. When you get rid of those union wages, who do you think keeps the money they would have been paying those union workers? The bosses keep it. Of course they do.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you another thing about where I worked. It was cleanness, very cleanness. I knew the way they inspected the bakery, and that was Continental Baking Company. That's Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to put a plus in there for them, but I'm just saying Union works. And I'm going to tell you, they had inspectors, and when something went wrong, like too many loaves on that belt, a Union store would see that. There's not a thing wrong with that.
No. And traditionally and typically, union workers have better safety records than non-union workers, because when you've got a union shop, you've got the union looking out for safety, and you've got the bosses looking out for safety, you hope. So you got twice as much safety compliance.
Sure, more cleanness, more professional drivers on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something very wrong in this country. I don't know where it's going to. Ever since he got in there, he's been from Mexico. He started out right off for Mexico. Okay, I don't know where he's from, but I'll tell you something. I hope he pretty soon gets going, because, Bob, there's nothing wrong with union at all. Look, the miners, and you look, the people driving these trucks are professionals.
Yeah, and probably, I would guess, upward of 75% of the people within the sound of my voice right now, Jack, and the sound of your voice, have unions to thank for the decent life that they grew up with and that they're able to have now.
That's right. We built our country. I'm going to tell you something. These men worked hard to do it, but they got it done. But now, here we go. We're going downhill now. And I'm going to tell you, over in Iraq, I said this, and I'll tell you till the day I die. There's no win over there. No win at all. They don't know who they're fighting. And that's what I say about it. So thank you, sir, for taking my call.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Jack. Anytime.
Okay.
Thank you. Say it plain. Because the truth is plain. Jack knows it. I don't know why some people... There is no winning over there. And there's no winning here when the fight is about trying to take away a working American's decent wage. Why would anybody support that? Why would a priest committed to, theoretically at least, the teachings of Christ Jesus want that? I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. Do we not all benefit when the middle class benefits? When the middle class grows, the rich get richer. It's that simple, and yet it would seem to be something on the order of calculus for some people to understand. And it's not rocket science. The more people that do better in the middle class, the more people that do better in the upper class, and by extension, although the upper class doesn't give a tinker's damn, the more people do better in the lower class and work toward becoming middle class. Wow, I guess it's just too tough to fathom. Judy, long time no talk to. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bob. How about
you? I'm getting along, I think.
Oh, great talk radio this week. I missed you last week. I was on the road show last
right.
week. And I really, really missed you.
Well, I got your email. I'm sorry to know you had a relapse of whatever that...
Oh, came back with a vengeance. It was awful, but I'm feeling better today. I actually worked today. But listen to your show... last night, night before last, and listening to Brian talk, and, you know, of course, I've been listening to the union, non-union issue, and my father was a union miner.
Yeah.
But, you know, I heard Brian talking last night about, you know, the situation on Coal River, and made reference to the fact that, you know, that dam situation on Coal River, you know, being a union, non-union.
Right, and you guys didn't have anything to say until it became a Massey mine.
That you know, let me tell you something. I can't let that pass by. I can't let the danger that those children and the people down there are in, you know, be trivialized as union, non-union fight. I want to say that the operation at the prep plant at that school there is the only union jobs that Nancy has on this river.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that. There's about 8 union people that's working at that preparation plant. You know, and you know, there are a lot of people that didn't know that there was a dam above that school until about 6 years ago. And then there are some that did know. And a lot of people didn't really think about it until the accident in, well, not the accident, to the terrible tragedy that happened in Martin County, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and people, this awareness is just raised about it. This is not just a union, non-union fighting.
Well, how could it possibly be, Julie?
That's true. And, you know, there's a lot of people that work at preparation plants and it's like, and a lot of the men are really ill or really sick. And lawsuits are being filed about the chemicals that they used, and even their wives are getting sick. So this is not a trivial matter. This serious situation with dams and with the chemicals that they use at these preparation plants, not only for the people that live downstream, but for the workers too.
And then the stuff that leaches into the streams.
Absolutely.
You know, we've talked about mercury, we've talked about manganese, and then last night, you know, the article about aluminum. You know, what poison do these people not want in the water?
Well,
that's a shorter list, isn't it?
That definitely is. And I got an email today advising me that on March the 10th there will be another EQB meeting at the EP headquarters in Charleston, and a lot of people are going to attend that. And that, of course, is the one that Ken Ward wrote about the new person on the EQB doesn't want citizen being able to talk, nor an environmentalist. And, you know, I would just like to tell them, I don't like the taste of politics.
No. Well said. Well said.
Yeah, I don't want corrupt politics in my water.
And I don't like the idea of government in the shadows either, do you?
No. That's the beginning of the end. And this is, you know, people just had better wake up and realize which way this thing is heading. If they don't already know, they better pull their head out of the aluminum or the manganese and figure it out. I talked to a group of students, and I was telling these students this past weekend about, you know, the fossil fuels that we're so greedily consuming and how we're using up our children's future energy needs. And in the process, we're polluting what their necessities, their land, their air, and the water. But the problem is, and this is their future picture, is the children that they're bearing from the pollution, the water pollution, will be ill children. We've discussed that before.
Absolutely.
Birth defects. But the problem is, though, and I heard you say it last night, is that aluminum is also linked to Alzheimer's and Parkinson's.
Yes, it is.
So when you have people now in their adult years right now, their babies are going to get very, very sick, and they're going to be caring for their babies. But they're also going to be caring for their fathers and their mothers and their grandparents.
And we don't have the infrastructure for that, frankly, Judy.
We don't. And that's what they had better think about. They had better be thinking about that. And this is going to be a very, literally, sick society if we don't wake up and realize what we're literally putting into our water, and which is our life giver.
Well, there's one other thing, and I guess, you know, here goes Bob, waging class warfare. This stuff doesn't affect our betters nearly as much as it affects us.
Not nearly.
Because you don't have slurry impoundments in Don Blankenship's neighborhood, I'll warrant. And he doesn't live downstream from any prep plants. You know, it's not in his water, it's not in his air, it's not hanging over his head. And I resent that, because I'm pretty sure that God made me and Don in his image, right? Well, God made me in his image. Who knows who made Don? I'm sorry, I'm being mean again.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have to, it comes out, and you have to, you know, ask forgiveness for it.
I'll do that later.
I know what you mean.
You know, and Don had a letter in the Rag Ho Old today. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't. Oh, I'll have to see that.
Oh, it's enough to make you eat dirt and run rabbits, Judy.
Oh,
yeah. Things like I just call Cecil Roberts a liar straight out. But this paragraph's the one that just made me giggle uncontrollably. Massey's objective is to operate safe coal mines while providing secure and well-paying jobs. We are successfully doing just that. Cecil Roberts is instead blocking traffic to protest the loss of benefits he promised wouldn't be lost.
Well, you know, I would beg to to differ. I think the people of Sylvester, Bill Barton, and several other communities would differ with what he has to say. Man, he can't even pronounce own ethnic group correctly.
You're kidding.
No, I listened to a speech that he gave, you know, to his stockholders, and he talked about Appalachia. I thought, you're an idiot. You can't even say the word right. You talk about Appalachia as if you don't even live here. That's what people that don't live in Appalachia call it.
He doesn't live here.
Absolutely.
and it's this whole letter is it's like a, I don't know, it's like a piece of science fiction. You know, the only reason that those benefits were lost to those miners at Cannleton is because of the dirty dealing. You know, there was a law in place to protect those benefits, but because of the dirty dealing bankruptcy judge down there in Kentucky, they eliminated those benefits.
Well, my
mind. Oh, isn't it, though? And then isn't it curious that Massey was the only bidder at the auction?
People are worried about people that are sick.
Well, let me just ask you, Judy, you mentioned being on the road. When you talk to these young Americans, do you feel like you're making a dent?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I received an email, mm-hmm. and as a matter of fact, we'll be holding an action in America on April the 1st, and they call it Fossil Fools Day.
Oh, very good.
And there's a lot of students in colleges now that are beginning to understand what we, the adults, are doing to their world. And they're demanding clean energy. They're demanding water. They're demanding a voice in their future.
Well, they deserve one.
They deserve one. And of course, there are some students that are still playing the game, you know, and looking at the birdie. But there are students out there that are literally, you know, taking a stand against what we are doing to their future.
Well,
it's getting through.
And you know what gets particularly embarrassing, Judy? I'm glad you guys are able to get through to these young people. It's ever so important, because we're not going to get any help in becoming sustainable or clean from an energy standpoint, or getting off the junk from an addiction standpoint. And yet I was looking at the Air America website the other day, and I read a news story. Mike Malloy talked about it at length. Lo and behold, the Chinese government, of all people, the Chinese government has come out and begun actively promoting clean energy, sustainable energy, solar, wind power, biomass fuels.
There's jobs in that. There's plenty of jobs. But that's another benefit to it. It's a transition, you know, requires construction. So there's a lot of jobs in that. It's just amazing, isn't it?
No, it is, and it's so shameful. It makes it pretty clear, doesn't it, Judy, that our government is in large part bought and paid for.
Absolutely.
And the check is written by the Enrons and the Exxons and the, you know, the Halliburtons of this country.
I have a friend that calls it the corporate rapers.
That works. I don't know if you've heard lately, but Wayne gave a new name to Mr. Blankenship.
Last night I was listening, but
it was a couple of nights. Don Colleoni.
Don Colleoni, that's good. Oh, Wayne, my hat is off to you. That is really good. All right.
Yeah, Don makes an offer you can't refuse.
Absolutely. You know. Oh, Bob, I'm telling you, but they're completely amazing. Great talk radio. I often text friends on Instant Messenger, and while I'm listening to your show.
That's wonderful.
Oh, and your music is just, he's enthralled by your music, the music that you play. It's not a host, you know. And he just loves to listen to the music in between. And, of course, I like Santana, too.
Oh, one of my favorites. And by all means, you know, hey, maybe one evening we can talk to him, Judy.
He's a little on the shy side, but
well, he'll get over it. He's got a pretty rock solid grandmother.
He sits and listens, and you'll say something, and he'll peek around the corner and look at me. You know, but kids listen more than what you think.
Oh yeah.
You know, and people had better understand that all you have to do is start a child to thinking about what's happening, and sooner or later he's going to figure it out, and he's going to look at you and say, My grandma, what was you doing years ago when they destroyed my future?
Yeah. Well, honey, we were trying. We were trying.
But I just had to call in and you know, so make sure that people understood that this is not a union, non-union battle about these slaves.
No, because it's gonna kill everybody without regard.
Yeah, it's serious business, and we're learning more. Matter of fact, I sat and listened to a man that his retired man worked on that sludge dam, and he told Department Secretary Timbermeyer mm-hmm. that the left side of that dam has some serious problems when it needs to be compacted. There were days that the mud wouldn't harden, and they went ahead and filled it in anyway.
Oh, mercy.
And, you know, and we requested that the DEP, you know, take a sample of the sludge from the top, from the middle, and from the bottom, and we want that analyzed. We want to know what's in that. And they simply told us, we don't have the authority to ask for it, and we're not going to ask for the samples. They don't want to know what's in it.
And they don't want us to know either.
They don't want us to know. So on our sludge project now, we're trying to get someone to get a sample of that so we can figure out what's in that and what's eventually ending up in everyone's water that's downstream of that.
Oh.
So I thought, yeah.
Well, I hope you can. I'm horrified at the thought of what the results will be, but I hope you can.
I'll let you know as soon as we know.
Okay, Judy, thanks so much. And get to feeling better, will you?
Oh, I definitely will, but I'm listening anyway.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. And just a couple of minutes left, but Jeff, you still there? Now, I want... I try to come to folks, but, we got another night of it tomorrow night. That's okay. There will be 3 hours, plenty of opportunity. Thanks to everyone who participated tonight. It certainly was fun. The show, of course, tonight was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reser, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they are working for you, and they prove it every single day. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. We are indeed greatly honored to have them along with us as well. Remember, you can go and check out the archives of the program at whiterosesociety.org. We thank Ben Birch very much for his efforts along those lines. Again, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Hey, Agnes.